remember. One of the other things I think you want to remember when you go into a Zoom hearing, since it's usually a hearing and it's not necessarily a trial, one of the things I think you ought to remember is start at the end. And that means, what are you asking the judge to do? There's a great scene between Anna Deavere and in the movie The American President. And one of the things that she and Michael J. Fox are arguing in the car, and Michael Douglas is on the other side of the seat. And one of the things he keeps hearing them argue, and he says to them, do I need to be here for this conversation? And that's not what you want to start with the judge. If you're arguing back and forth or you're not engaging the judge, it's probably one of the first things you want to do. And to do that, one of the things you want to do is start by saying, listen, judge, I have an order here. I'm going to ask you to sign that order. That order is going to do this. That allows you to say and let the judge know where you're going. Even if you're going to give some background, give the background after you're asking the judge what it is you're asking the judge to do, because that tells him why he needs to be there, why he or she needs to be there, and why they're engaged. And I think that's a really important point. Let's start talking a little bit now about storytelling techniques and about with regard to telling stories and making sure that we do stuff in trial. Arouse the listener's curiosity. Find a unique or some good way to start the case. Can you talk about, for instance, one of my favorite movies is Draft Day with Kevin Costner, and simply because there's that one scene in the movie where he says, we live in a different world than we did 30 seconds ago. We all live in a different world than we did probably 4 or 5 months ago when COVID hit. And so find a way to capture the person's attention. And you're talking when you're talking in the courtroom, you're talking not only to the judge, but you're also talking to the court reporter and the judge's staff. And so just a hint, a word to the wise. I'm not sure why anybody ever thinks that yelling at the judge's staff is a good idea, but people tend to do that. And I don't really think that's a great idea. And when we say use active voice in this slide, we're not talking about that active a voice. Tell the story in the present tense. Use lay terminology. One of the things I absolutely do not like is when people exit the vehicle. Real people don't exit vehicles. They get out of the car. And the more you say exit the vehicle, the more it sounds like something else. We do that a lot, and we shouldn't do it. It doesn't help us tell the story if you're exiting the vehicle. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like a story that you're telling somebody. And so if you're going to arouse the listener's curiosity, if you're going to use active voice and tell the story in the present tense, don't screw all that good work up by, in fact, using lay technology or lay terminology. It's not really something you want to do. All right, let's move on from there. Some of the other things, present compelling characters. Talk about your compelling characters. If you can make, these days, if you can make anybody rip, for anybody who's watching Yellowstone or seeing Yellowstone, for anybody that you can do that, if you can make anybody rip or John Dutton, Costner, another Costner film, you probably, or Beth Dutton, heaven forbid, if you can make anybody one of those characters, you probably get the jury's attention. But one of the reasons I actually watch some television, at least this is my excuse, this is my story and I'm sticking to it, is so that I can talk about Yellowstone or something younger or something on that they've seen on television. If you can get even 2 or 3 or 4 jurors who have done that, you've got their attention. They're going to be listening what you're doing and what you're saying. And if it works for you, you should do exactly that. That's how you present a compelling character. There are not many people who can be Rip, but you know, if you got a guy who's a Rip, then that's perfectly fine. Employ evocative language, which transform the actions into memorable images. That's really a good thing. Can you really make the image sound like something people want to listen to? I'll give you an example, and one that I like to use a lot. One of the things that the people who were trying the case in the Rodney King trial did was they, in fact, people were worried about how they were going to use the videotape. They used the videotape all the time. They used the videotape so much that the jurors became numb to the use of the videotape. And so it wasn't like that. It didn't seem as bad as that. By the time they got through with the jury, the jurors, 6 or however long it took the trial, but it was some weeks later, the jurors were used to seeing it, and they just didn't have the same reaction to it that they did the first time around. You can do that with good word and images. For example, if you tell somebody you had a six-pack, and you keep saying six-pack and a six-pack, In the state of Texas, it's been my my experience that, in fact, a six-pack sounds like a single beer. Don't ask me why. It just occasionally does. And so, but if you say instead of six-pack, 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 that sounds like just one beer. It doesn't sound like that much. But if you say you had a beer, then you had another beer, then you had another beer after that, then you had another beer after that, you had another beer after that, oh, and then you got, oh, wait, there's another beer after that. And then you got in a 4,000-pound car and drove down the highway. That's some more beer. You had some more beer, some more beer, some more beer. Sounds a whole lot like a lot more beer than does a six-pack. A six-pack doesn't sound that like as much as does six beers as you count them out. And that's one of the things that evocative language can do for you. That's why we don't say, I don't like saying, I wouldn't suggest you say exit the vehicle. I got out of the car, stumbled out of the car, fell out of the car. Give some word that describes what's going on, and that will help you do what you need to do to get to the jury.